That's beautiful. We didn't want it to end. We wanted it to keep going. It's really beautiful. Good morning. Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Karen Rice. Kathy, get back up here for a minute. I'm Reverend Karen Rice, and I'm the spiritual leader of this community, and I'm really happy to see you all here. And for the month of December, I have chosen the theme for us to be in the Christmas spirit. I chose three words last week. The words, anybody remember the three words? Flow, choice, and praise. And so I wrote a song, and I thought it might be really fun to hear somebody professional sing it. We haven't heard it done well, so here's the deal. She had no idea this was coming. You know that song, Doe a Deer, a Female Deer? You know that song well enough to? All right, so I wrote new lyrics for that melody. Would you sing it for us? Would you do it in a mic?
Sure.
All right. Great way to start the morning.
Flow a year, a brand new year. Choose a drop of golden fun. Praise a word I call out loud. Joy a long, long time to run. So I'm ready now to go. Be inside the Christmas glow. Know that good removes all woe. And it leads us back to flow.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, Kathy. Wow, it sounded really good with somebody professional doing it, didn't it? That was really fun. Thank you so much. It was really hard for me not to sing. I really wanted to. You know I did. Oh, so good morning. We're talking about flow and choice and praise all month long. The message that that me and God got together and partnered in for sharing with you this morning is this lovely idea of, the title of the message is The Cool Yule. Do you know that song, Kathy? The Cool Yule. It's a Christmas carol, not well known. We'll talk about it in a minute. I won't make you sing it, though. I know, right? She can probably Google it and do it before the service is over. But the message that I want to deliver today, I'm really desiring for you to hear it in a very personal way. So a lot of what I'm going to speak to is going to sound, you're going to be tempted to just kind of file it in that average place of, oh, this is about how I interact with other people or how I want to choose to show up in the world. But I want you to really go that next step. This is the deep work. This is the harder work. And I want you to personalize the best you can. Take something home today that you can use personally as you move through this week of another week of Tis the Season, and in any way you can use it. So the quotation that I found from Dr. Ernest Holmes to support the message is really short and sweet, so I'm going to read it a couple of times. I want you to get a flavor of it, but I want you to kind of try it on in a personal way and feel it. God is calling our attention to the happiness of living an abundant life. God is calling our attention to the happiness of living an abundant life. And I'm going to tie that idea in. I'm going to take those words and I'm going to apply them to the Christmas message. And we're looking, therefore, because it is the end of the year, and I, for one, am extremely self-reflectant this time of year, and I think we all should be. So it's a time where we are getting ready to close out 2019. We'll be stepping into a brand new year, 2020, but I want to reflect on all the things I've experienced this year, and I want to see what I've learned. I want to know where I've grown, and I want to dare to be courageous enough to see where I want to dive a little deeper next year. So are you interested? Yeah. All right, so we got something to talk about. God is calling our attention, but remember, it is pulling us to this idea of happiness and what's possible when we recognize we live in this abundant universe that therefore gives us an abundant life. So it's this close of a year. And it is a time where, as we're being reflective, we have this idea of determining whether we've been naughty or nice. Isn't that funny? I remember as a younger woman that it was really important to try and be nice, and that I could really beat myself up as I started to think of all the things I did during the year that weren't very nice. But now, with this sagey wisdom you get just from, you know, being a little older, you realize that naughty's not so bad. You know, we should be playing a little more and not be so hard on ourselves when we have a judgment that we've been naughty instead of nice. And in fact, most of us hit a certain age where we realize nice isn't all that good. What is nice? You know, it doesn't have any substance to it. So instead of categorizing and filing things in the naughty or the nice file, which is interesting that Santa Claus sounds so much like the way we look at God in many religious connotations, we are looking at this at a different idea of how to personalize and reflect on the year and apply it in a really personal way. And I chose this story based on I pick this song the talk titles months ahead. So a cool Yule, I had never heard that before. But it turns out it's not only a song that was written. Do you know anybody know who wrote Cool Yule? Steve Allen, how did you know that? 1953. The song was birthed in the at the end of World War II. You know, so we're barely post-war. 1953. Steve Allen wrote the song, and who was the first person to popularize it, sing it, and got it recorded? John, go ahead. Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong. So what's really cool about the song is it has this flavor of, you know, it's kind of a 40s kind of, it reminded me of a, USO flair. I think of the USO. My mother-in-law, Hugh's mother, was a great voiceress and traveled because her Sweet Adeline group or her quartet, must have been her quartet, won a national award, and they traveled with, I don't know, Bob Hope or somebody, and they go to sing to the troops. So why do they go sing to the troops? To bring them some Christmas cheer. If we're looking at Christmas time, it's to bring in some cheer. So what I like about this song is, and I really had not heard it, but it really is kind of a snappy, fun tune. And you, like John Kruger, you too may Google it and listen to it later. But the statement then tells me, because it was this USO flair it has to it. When you hear it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's intended to remind us in the dark days to stay aware of the presence of good, right? That no matter how tough life is, even in the trenches, that still there is light, still there's, it's still important for us to find joy in our life. And I think that's really difficult in periods of war. But that theme, that whole vision of singing to the troops to cheer them up, and the way that brings light into the lives of those who are serving our country, that brings me so sweetly to the actual theme of Christmas, which happens this time of year, which happens always around the time of the winter solstice. It happens around Hanukkah. It happens around the time that we celebrate the birth of Buddha in some regions of the world. And that whole, the earth-based winter solstice stuff, the return of the light, and we have a universal theme. If you throw it all together, there's a universal theme of light, and we will actually be celebrating that light, and we'll be lighting the candles of the faiths on our midweek, pre-Christmas, our candlelight ceremony that happens, No, it's not next Wednesday. It'll be the Wednesday after that. So So it's a gorgeous time for us to focus on the light because the nights are longer. And I love that idea that so many spiritual traditions and religious, world religions, choose this time of year to have formal celebrations or ceremonies or rituals where we are really it's sort of intended to keep us focused on the light in the same way that that song was created for that purpose. So the reason I call it a reminder is because of everything that was said before I stood up to speak this morning. It was in the words of the music, it was in the reading, it was from the voice of Reverend Clyde, and all the things that were said today, there was this gorgeous theme of reflecting that inner light. That's where this stuff gets real personal, is that we all have within us a God-given sort of GPS divine system that will guide us through whatever darkness we may be experiencing, even in the deepest, darkest, coldest part of a winter, and no matter where you are. So we are equipped to find our way through any dark night. And as I thought about that, how it's just this God-given gift, I was thinking about the way we have these emergency lights. There's in the very back, I don't even see it anymore because it's so beautiful back there, but should the power go out in this building, we are required to have these emergency backup lights. Does it have a special name? I'll just refer back to John and Ed. Emergency backup lights. EBL. And I've been in the building when we've had a power outage. I've been in this room when we had a power outage, and it's so interesting how it goes black and you go, you know, it kind of takes your breath away, and then whoosh, those lights come on. And it's intended to help us find our way. Should there be an emergency of some sort, if the power is gone, we get ourselves safely to where there is light again. And I think that's how it is, that we could remember that we got that inside of us. And the way that we charge the batteries is by doing stuff like this, coming together and talking about it again and reading things that encourage us and uplift us and participating in that the tribe of choice community stuff that really always is uplifting. I think part of the extra energy that I'm feeling this morning is left over from our leadership party that was on Friday night. And I know that yesterday I was in just this state. I didn't even throw the party. I just went to the party. And I had this glorious afterglow. And so something we understand, something happens to us energetically when we have these occasions and opportunities to celebrate things together. So Christmas and Hanukkah and the sort of spiritual traditions of the season, including the winter solstice, are really about reminding us of or carrying us back again to this opportunity to discuss newborn possibilities. Think of baby Jesus in the manger. Right, the star in the sky was a message to say there's hope for the world. There's hope for humanity. Someone has come, and we then created a whole religion around it. And interestingly, it fits with even the pagan celebrations the dates are not all that coincidental. At one time, the dates were probably very well planned to combine different faiths and different theories and different ideas so that people could have that unified way of celebrating. So I want to point out that we're celebrating at Christmas time. This time of year is newborn possibilities. Newborn, never before experienced. Not like spring, where we honor the resurrection. We honor the way things come back in that cycle. Christmas is different and unique in the way that it's about something absolutely brand new is being born that we haven't ever experienced before. So we want to remember that that's our opportunity in a very personal way to be, as we're reflecting, we can also be anticipating or expecting the good that we desire ahead of us in the new year. So There's this wonderful story. I remembered this story because of the Cool Yule and the history of that, the recording of that song. There's a wonderful story that many of you will know. It's familiar. I've actually told this story from this platform in the past, but it's a great story for us to look at ways to be open to the presence of good in difficult times. And the story is called The Christmas Truce of 1914. And it's something that actually happened at the this is kind of boggles my brain when I think that this is possible. It gives me so much hope for all of us in this. It almost makes it look like minutia, the kind of stuff we're going through when you look at extreme stories such as this. So it started with Pope Benedict the 15th. Pope Benedict was in 1914, the reigning pope, and he had this idea that all of the troops on all sides of the war should call a temporary hiatus, that they should just put the war on hold for the celebration of Christmas. He suggested that one day, that they could just take a break from war for one day. And of course, the warring countries and the powers, the military powers, said that's impossible. There's no way we could make a decree like that. We cannot set an official ceasefire. That just won't happen. But the soldiers in the trenches did it their way. They didn't wait for a formal decree. They did what came intuitively to them. And what happened was described this way. And there are lots of accounts from people that were there that have been recorded, and so it's a beautiful story if you look it up. Christmas Eve comes, and it's dark. And so it's hard for me to imagine, but there are trenches with soldiers, and there's space in between the trenches. So you have one side here, and you have another side here. It's 1914. Imagine what that would have been like then. And the ground in the middle is called no man's land. And so they're fighting, using their weapons against each other all day long. Night comes, and some of the soldiers randomly just started singing Christmas carols because it was Christmas Eve. Isn't that touching to think in the dark there would be suddenly the sharing of carols? And so the next morning, as soon as the sun began to rise, the German soldiers put down their arms and they walked into that area referred to as no man's land, and they began to say Merry Christmas in the native tongue of what was the enemy the day before. And so at first, the Allied troops thought it's a trick. You know, they're trying to get us to come on out and leave our weapons behind. But they noticed that as the German soldiers continued to come out of the trench and walk toward them, saying Merry Christmas to them in their own native tongue, that they were definitely unarmed, and a few brave soldiers on the Allied side came and greeted them. They came out of their trenches, extended their hands, they shook hands, and they began to say Merry Christmas. And then more and more people did this, and a few of them were exchanging gifts. They were giving cigarettes to each other as gifts, or plum pudding, little things of plum pudding that they had there with them. And then the remarkable part is that without any planning, a little soccer game broke out. And here you had two opposing warring sides playing a lighthearted game of soccer, celebrating Christmas Day together. It only lasted one day. The people that reported the experience are said to have said it was marvelously wonderful yet strange. That has to be an understatement when I think of it. Marvelously wonderful yet strange. The celebration of newborn possibilities brought together enemies, and they were able to be friends for a little while. So I think at this point, it would be easy to take the story and apply it in the way that we would think about making peace with somebody in our life in a personal way, somebody we've been at war with, somebody maybe we need to forgive. But here's what I want to suggest today, because I'm asking you to make this really, really personal. I want you to ask yourself, can you make peace with yourself? Can you look at your own life as you are reflecting on the decisions you made or the encounters you've had this year? Can you take some of those awkward situations, some of those difficult or even painful things, and can you find a way just for a short while to make peace with yourself over what appears to be war? So what we know is, what's so incredible now is that we know that the millennials are less interested in going to church than all the previous generations, and their children will be less and less interested in church in the way that we used to know it. What I think is that it's, you know me, I think it's good news because they're all going to find us because we don't do church in any normal way. And what they don't want, we don't do. You know, we have this gorgeous way we're welcoming to all people. We honor all paths. But what they're drawn to, they don't do church, but they're drawn to things like Brené Brown, the work of Brené Brown, which is all about self-worth. It is all about the personal growth. We're invited to sort of try and expand ourselves and do our own work. And it's specifically related, everything Brené Brown does is related on looking at our relationship to shame and blame, and that there's an invitation in there for us to lighten up on ourselves. And so, if you could call a truce for a day with yourself in those some of those touchy, sensitive areas that seem almost unimaginable to heal, what if you could let go of any essence of lack of worthiness? What if for a day we could imagine the reality of our divinity? How would the world change if each of us could do that just for a day? I love considering such things. So, you know, we raise our children, typically. We have this idea that we're going to teach them to be good people, right? We want to instill a strong character-building ideas in their who they are, so that they're moral and they're ethical and they make choices and they think things through. And all of that is good. And as I was playing with this idea, I was thinking that mostly when I was a mother, well, I guess I'm still a mom, but the things I harped on the hardest were probably the things where I had paid a pretty good consequence by my own poor choices when I was younger. And I was trying to save them. You know, in some way, we want to spare them the consequences of some of the choices we made. And, you know, and that's how we perpetuate cycles, you know. We were trying to do better. But the beautiful point is that it doesn't work like that. When you make a decision that wasn't such a great decision, you have a consequence. Sometimes it's immediate, right? And sometimes it really doesn't feel good. But I want us to rethink that. I want us to rethink it, because for everything we deem not such a good choice in our life, a behavior or a way we showed up in a relationship that we'd like a do-over, any decision, really, it's just a decision. It's just a choice. And I want us to look at the way, if it's not a good choice, you recognize that. That is a God-given gift. That is part of the divine GPS system that's inside of you, that when you choose wrong, you know it. You start to feel uncomfortable and uneasy inside. Now, what's really important here is what you do with that feeling. And this is what this morning's message is all about. So you could say that some of our best lessons, the things that have grown us the most, everyone here should be able to say this, but we probably all could. Those are the lessons where you made a choice and you felt some kind of an inner quaking of consequence moving all around inside of you. Baby, you got it. You know, you're really aware of it at some point. And that's because consequence becomes consciousness. It makes us conscious because consequence wakes us up. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not a bad thing. We're so quick to have remorse or you know, good or bad or measure. And what I want to say is this is where I when I said naughty or nice at the top of the talk, you know, what if naughty wasn't so bad? What if there's something important in it that we have religionized and made it look like an entity, you know, and called it by a name? The devil made me do it. So, right? Yes. So an unpleasant consequence can be kind of like the alarm clock in the morning. Oh, I do not like it when the alarm clock goes off, ever. I've tried all kinds of sweet little tender tones, you know, to wake me up in different. I just don't like my sleep interrupted. And so what I know is that the alarm clock waking me up might be annoying, but it serves a purpose. And so does the way we get woke up when we're standing in the middle of a consequence. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's real good. It's just like the alarm clock going off. You don't have to like it. It is a part of life. It serves a purpose. So now we're going to just look for a short moment that, you know, the truth is we're all making up our own story. I love this about The Course in Miracles. One of the first lessons is you attach meaning to everything. And that's where we have conflict with each other because you attach a different meaning than I do. And we both are seeing what's true in our own lives and through our own perspective. So if you're making up your own story, make sure as you're reflecting on your life this year, and you're looking at all the shenanigans you have danced in all year, make sure that you assign it a meaning that is useful, that is not something that is making you feel bad about yourself. It is, if it is punishing in any way, there's a better way to look at it, because that's not loving, right? So you're always in charge of your own story. Make it a good story. Make it a, you know, give it meaning that matters, that will not, because when we punish ourselves, we walk around punishing everybody else. So here's what it looks like. I get up in the morning, this happened all day long, these things will happen, and I have to make a decision. Now I'm going to be speaking figuratively, symbolic, you know, just metaphorically. So something happens, and I now have to decide what to do with that something. Right? I probably have some feelings about it. I might have some thoughts. I might even have some reactions. But right now, I get to decide if I'm going to go north or south or east or west. Right then, right? Or I could decide I want to go to the city or I want to go to the country. What do you want to do with it? Or I could decide I'm going to climb that mountain or I'm going to coast downhill and I'm going to end up at the ocean. Whatever happens, we're making decisions all day long. The only question is, what do you do with it? What do you do if you don't like it? What if you have already gone to judgment that you made a decision yesterday and now it put you here and now you have a perspective that you could not anticipate yesterday because you weren't here in this new direction yet, and now suddenly you feel it in your body and it doesn't feel good? Yes, you can make another decision, of course. That's what we teach here every day, every week, every class. You can always choose again. Change your thinking and you change your life. We know that. but what have you named it before you have changed it? What if you could catch it and notice when just in that place where you're starting to feel like this doesn't really feel good, I made the wrong decision. Be careful that you call it wrong. Don't call it wrong. I mean, sometimes we say, well, there's error thinking, or you know, we just get on course. We get back on course. But notice that if you say in your mind, we all have our own unique way. I'm just going to give you a few that may or may not be mine. If you think you've made a foolish decision, you are a fool. You have called yourself a fool. If you think you made a decision carelessly, you are now standing in a position of believing you care less than you should care. I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's a good decision to move in. It's just another view. If you decide that it was a thoughtless decision, thoughtless, you are now empty-headed. And you're not empty-headed, and you're not thoughtless. You're never thoughtless. And of course, if you think it was a bad decision, you are calling yourself bad. Stop that. Pay attention to those little things. Do not condemn anyone, but especially do not condemn yourself. Rather, if you decide instead that it's just a lesson, woo, new perspective, don't really like it. Well, I have learned something today from looking at territory I had not looked at until this moment. And now I know I don't want to be that way anymore. So now I am, if it's a lesson, I'm a student, right? And students are open and students are curious and students are aware of their environment and where they are. Let's be students. Students are always growing. That's an amazing place for us to be. So the best lessons may really be the ones where we have a little inner quaking because of the consequence, but what we do with it is important for us to decide. Every choice you make, even though some of those are subtle, as I was naming them and walking through them, some of them are subtle, but notice they create an energetic inside of us. It changes how we move through the day. It impacts our bodies in a physical way. This is what the body-mind connection is always trying to show us. So every choice we make revs up something inside of you. What do you want revved up? Well, I want good revved up in me, right? I want joy revved up in me. You know, I want to see beauty, and I want to know that there's the presence of God is right where I'm at. I want all of that. I want all of that, and I want so much more. But if we hadn't messed up, you know this is true. There are times where if you hadn't messed up, you wouldn't have woken up. So be tender with yourself this season. Look for ways to see love. You know, I mean, this is really what I'm asking you to do. I am calling you to reflect on your experiences in 2019. And then I want you to especially look at the ones that you have had some icky energy around, right? The ones that don't feel so good to remember. And I want you to challenge yourself to find love. Where was love? Right there in the middle of that thing that happened that didn't feel so good. Where was love? Because you know what? Love was there. God is right in the middle of all of it, and God is love. And you know, love, we know love is the most powerful force in the universe. So this is sort of another way, a sort of a backwards way of looking at this way of seeing that right where I am, love is always and forever in the past and in the present, but perfectly right now in this present moment. So what's most important is that eventually each and every one of us will come to realize that we live in our own world of infinite possibilities, right? Infinite possibilities. Holmes said, God is calling our attention to the happiness of living an abundant life, a life absolutely filled with infinite potential, with unimagined possibilities. And this is a season to focus on that. So I wrote not a song this time. Though I might have another career. I just say, I think it was kind of a good song. I wrote an affirmation for myself, and it was for a very personal experience that happened to me last week, and it was something that happened that I wouldn't have noticed except that I felt a consequence. I had a quaking inside of me, and I didn't like how I felt. And so I wrote this affirmation for me, but I think we could all use these words. I guess you need to write your own affirmation when you find yourself quaking in the future, right? So here's mine. This year, I am open to receiving the divine interpretation assigned by the Holy Spirit. I will renew all reflections, all my reflections on my experiences. I will renew them with the love of God. All of my life-giving, life-sustaining, life-perpetuating holy moments of experience shall be seen with new eyes. The Christmas star is rising in the sky, so I might see again. Will you join me? Please join me. Let's take a moment to just let all of these words just fall around us. And I'm going to anchor these ideas in the words of prayer. So if the ministers and the practitioners would please just stand and surround the room, we are going to appreciate your consciousness as we move to the secret place of the Most High. So take a breath. Take a holy, holy breath. And for a moment, we set aside all the thinking, all the intellectual activity of the busy mind. We allow ourselves to feel the way it is to sit in a chair or to stand in the sanctuary and sense life fully supporting us. I feel that love of God within me. And I know it is the activity of life itself breathing me, pumping the blood, circulating everything in my being. And as that's true for me, it is true for every person here, every living being. Right where we are, right where we are, God is. How wonderful to know again that there is a presence, there is a power, and it is a power for good, and we can use it. So we take these amazing words of prayer, understanding that there is a universal law, a spiritual law that responds to each and every word and thought and action of our being. And so we seed in our own consciousness these words of truth and of beauty, of the goodness that exists, knowing that always, even in the seeming conditions of war or discontent, that still there is something that unites us, that connects us, that allows us to reach out and sense we are on this same great web of life, one with life and one with the Creator, I feel the love of God in this room. It is that healing motion, that movement, that activity, that essence of truth that sparkens something within us so that the wisdom in our bodies, that GPS, that inner divine GPS system that we are born with, it is startled, awakened. It is actively moving and doing what it needs to do, allowing every cell to thrive, releasing any imperfections, removing any toxins, and taking a divine balm, a salve, and just rubbing it on our sore muscles or any of the dysfunctions that we think we might see in our body. We are calling forward our perfection. We are acknowledging and accepting the wholeness and the truth of our being. There is a healing that is happening as these words are spoken, because there is a truth that absolutely is responsible to be responsive to these words that we say. So we inhale and we breathe and we take it in and we recognize that we are vessels receiving God's good. And that even now, even in this holy moment of time, the grace of God, the givingness of Spirit itself, is streaming into our lives, washing us clean, cleansing us of any sense of discord, allowing us to soften our hearts and to forgive and to accept and to love and to be the divine human being we have been called to be. And so how beautiful it is to know that happiness is this gift of this abundant givingness of God, and that we are the container to receive this good. So we breathe it in, we take it, we embody it, we allow it to be that which guides us through this week, that allows us to make decisions. And if we make a decision or a wrong turn, we just turn around and we try some other new experience. For we are not afraid to grow. We are not afraid to love. So knowing this to be the truth of this community, to be the inherent truth at the core of every individual, standing in trenches with no man's land between, we rise in consciousness. We rise to be all that we can be. And for this, I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for all of these blessings and for the blessings that are yet to come. It is with a joyful, grateful heart that I release these words into the law, knowing it is already done. And together we say, and so it is.